You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to Tuesday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner joined by commentator Gary Capewell to look ahead to four races on Tuesday's cards. They come, Tuesday's cards from Bath, Beverley, Thirsk, Worcester, Dundalk and Killarney, all on Tuesday's racing agenda. And delighted to be joined here by Mr. Capewell to preview the action. Gary, first of all, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to you, Dave. It must be a bit of a culture shock for you to be doing this.
Yes, I think it's the first time, as I mentioned to you, first time for 2 years I've been on this this racing podcast, I believe.
Wow.
Something like that. So
I'm sure some of the listeners would appreciate if this was the first time in 2 years that I was on the racing podcast, but fair enough.
They still get to listen to me occasionally on racing radio, which I'm sure they enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What we do on this podcast, by the way, folks, if you are new to us, is every single time we have a Tuesday racing podcast, we do Monday's jury, which is just lifted from the
genius where they decided to lift that, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we do that, and then we'll get Gary's selections for four of the day's feature races on Tuesday. It's what you'd expect, isn't it, on a Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah,
really?
I think so. That's fair.
Okay, let's start with Monday's jury then, Mr. Capewell.
Right.
If you own Limato, what sort of programme would you map out for him? Limato, very impressive. Couple of days ago now, wasn't it, Limato's win for Henry Candy, and just wandered right-handed in the closing stages, but clearly a horse with serious gears and wants fast ground as well.
He does want fast ground, and obviously that, with that in mind, that's going to have a big effect on what targets they potentially have. I should imagine the next race he does run in, I mean, I've not seen any trainer quotes, but I should imagine the Prix Jacques Le Marwar is potentially the next race. I don't think anybody's... Sorry, the Prix Jacques Le Marwar. Prix Maurice Le Geest,
yes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And that is actually... Stuart Williams has actually said that as well, hasn't he, in the answers today.
I suppose it's the ground, though, isn't it?
It is the ground, but at Deauville, he's likely to get that, I would imagine. It'll be on the quickest side, at least. Obviously, he's ran at the ARC meeting in the past. I think he's actually won the foray in the past, hasn't he? Or he was certainly placed in the race last year, anyway. But he is ultimately going to be bound by the ground. I mean, the other suggestions I think that you've got in the Racing Post are spot on. The Haydock Sprint Cup is ideal for him. And the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint isn't a bad shout. I think they're at, where are we, at Centre Anita again this year, I think, from memory, for the Breeders' Cup. So, I mean, as I say, a lot they'll just have to keep him ticking over because he is obviously very ground-dependent. So that will have a huge bearing on where he goes. But, you know, one would imagine that the sort of races that we've talked about hopefully are going to be the targets, but again it will depend on the ground. But it was a good field, I thought, on Saturday, and
it's a good performance
gropping down to that trip for the in that grade anyway, at least for the first sort of time, so a good effort.
Yeah, and Henry Candy was suggesting that perhaps even a mile was going to be he was going to try him at a mile again, but the Sussex Stakes is going to come too soon on the back of that.
Yeah, we're only, what, 2 weeks away from that now. So, yeah, I think that's probably understandable.
What other observations do you have on this year's July Cup?
I thought the three-year-old Quiet Reflection acquitted itself very well.
Yeah.
And I think again, obviously, she won at Royal Ascot when the ground was a good bit softer, and the fact that it was so quick perhaps maybe didn't play to her strengths, but you should imagine that she could have, again, perhaps the similar sort of targets, as the winner, albeit I think she wouldn't mind a little bit more digging the ground.
Yeah, I think they want to, that if you've got Limato and Quiet Reflection, if they were under the same ownership, shall we say, they'd be looking at different targets, because one wants it very, well, quite soft, and the other wants it quick.
Exactly. So where they go with those horses will, again, depend on the weather, which is a bit frustrating. But yeah, I think you're looking at similar-ish sort of targets, I would imagine, ultimately, this sprint on Champions Day. Again, when the grounds, there's been cut in the ground the last few years, would be the long-term target for Quiet Reflection. Obviously, we know that she handles the track. Obviously, she won at Royal Ascot. So I think that would be the probably the long-term aim for her.
Did any of the juveniles we saw last week have Group 1 or Classic winning potential, in your opinion, Mr. Gatewell?
I thought the there were a couple of good races at Newmarket throughout the course of the July meeting. I thought the one on Saturday was particularly good, the one won by Dabyar for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. I thought he won with a bid in hand. Won with a bid in hand. Another offspring of Sepoy, who's made a very good start to his stallion career, and Timeless Flight, the Godolphin horse, was fairly impressive as well. Obviously, we're going ready for the maidens there, but obviously there were the group races as well, the Superlative Stakes and the July Stakes. All those horses are going to be have those kind of aspirations at this stage. We'll need to see them again, I think, a little bit further down the line before we can sort of judge whether they'll have classic winning potential. But certainly most of them, at least for the moment, you would say they had Group 1 potential.
Yeah, Boynton was the one that I liked in the Superlative, because War Decree was so well backed in that race for Aidan O'Brien that clearly some people thought that he was a special animal. And Boynton drifted in the market markedly prior to the off. And when they came close together, Boynton found something extra, and I like that, really knuckled down.
Yep, very much so. Yeah. And that will be a trait that hopefully, should he carry on, that will stand him in good stead for the future.
There have been lots of top handicaps lately. Give us maybe one to follow. We won't ask you for two, we'll just ask you for one.
Well, I backed Earth Drummer in the John Smith Cup, and he finished third. I backed him in the Hunt Cup prior to that. I think he's a horse that is going to pick one of these heritage handicaps up at some stage. So he'd be beaten a length behind Alberith, and of course educating the John Smith Cup on Saturday, and Nose Trail wasn't far behind them in a close up fourth. But Earth Drummer, prior to those runs in good company, he's been shaping as though he's capable of winning one of these races. He was fifth in a big handicap at Ascot prior to running in the Hunt Cup, where I don't think he really had things go his way, and that was much more like it last time out on Saturday. So Earth Drummer is one, maybe the Cambridgeshire, I should imagine, will possibly be the long-term target for him.
And Big Orange or otherwise, could Europe provide this year's Melbourne Cup winner?
It'll be interesting to see who goes. Obviously, Big Orange ran in the race before round with great credit, but he isn't going to get a soft lead in that race. He doesn't need a soft lead per se, but I think
definitely helps, doesn't it?
It definitely helps.
Those two of his best career runs came race. When James Spencer dictated, and then James McDonald's at the weekend.
Yeah, and whether he obviously won't get that kind of luxury in the Melbourne Cup. Order of St George, I think, might have thrown his chance away by winning the Gold Cup, because he's going to be handicapped potentially out of it. He's very good, but he's going to be giving a lot of weight away, I would imagine, to some of the other horses. Whether he goes or not is open to question, but he is classy enough to probably do it. But I think he'll have his fair share of weight, and it will take a monumental effort for him to do it. So at this stage we don't know who's going to go, but at least Big Orange will go there, hopefully with less weight to carry than Order of St George.
And finally, does Summer Mile winner Amutter KF look good enough to win a race like the QE2?
I think so. I napped him when he won on Saturday, and he was very impressive at Ascot. One would imagine that they might even step him up in trip. We'll learn more next target, because I think he's going to end up running in the Judmont. So whether it's the QE2 or the Champion Stakes for him will depend on what he does at York next time out. But obviously he'd won at York prior to winning it. Ascot very impressively on Saturday, so much will depend on what happens next time out, but I certainly think he's in the form of his life at the moment, so I certainly wouldn't be saying no to the answers to that.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Let's move on to Tuesday's racing then, Mr. Capewell. We've got four races that you've taken a quick look at. The racing action, we'll start with Bath. The 305 is a handicap class three contest, seven runners, and Papa Luigi is one that is going to be worth serious consideration here. Going for the four-timer Papa Luigi. Gary Mahn taking £5 off this Richard Hannon trained colt Papa Luigi.
Yeah, leaving sort of leaps and bounds, isn't he, at the moment? Won at Kempton over six furlongs when last seen. The handicap has given him another rise in the weights, but he is very much in the form of his life. I'd just be slightly concerned about him going back down in trip slightly, but as I say, he definitely arrives here with the best form, and as I say, in very good form indeed. But I would take a chance with the Andrew Balding trained Dark Shot here, who finally managed to get his head in front in maiden company at Windsor last time out. Goes back into handicap company, and with the yard in fairish sort of form, I think he'll be the one for me. Cassia won here last time out, but she very much got her own way of things on that occasion, and that might not be the case this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. So I'd be surprised if she can follow up. So I'll be with Dark Shot for Andrew Balding and David Probert in that 305.
Let's move to Beverley. The 4 o'clock at Beverley is a handicap contest over 2 miles, eight runners at time of recording for this contest. And St. Michelle, I suppose, is one that is going to be closely considered here, St. Michelle. So Mark Prescott is the trainer. Ryan Powell taking the ride, low weight for St. Michelle here as well.
Typical improving Sir Mark Prescott horse. Won at a very short price at Chelmsford on his penultimate outing. And then this Son of See the Stars was second at Bath last time out, just under a fortnight ago. But that horse was very much on the improve. I think going up in trip will definitely help. He's going to get some useful enough performers, though. Away with the Greys, probably better known as a hurdler, first run for 114 days. The order in good form, though. Joshua Bryan taking seven off his back is interesting. Street Artist has to prove that he stays this far, but he's won, sorry, ran well over a mile and three quarters in the past. So going up in trip probably shouldn't be a huge concern. Gabriel Starr ran in the Constellation race for the Northumberland Plate. I think this smaller field might see him in a better light. Tappy Libra won well at Epsom last time out. Whether he can get a soft lead or not, again, is open to a bit of debate. The cheap pieces go back on full day. Dagash is coming off the back of a third at Pontefract last time out and has gone down a pound in the weights. And Arrow Town is gradually getting the hang of things. Didn't get beaten too far at Doncaster last time out. But the three-year-old, the weight for age at this stage of the season is a lot over this particular trip. And I think that will be enough to see Michelle win again, get back to winning ways. So Saint-Michel is the pick in the 4 o'clock.
And we'll stay with Beverley's action. The 5.05 at Beverley is a handicap, seven runners for this Class 4 contest. And we've got four last time out winners in the lineup here, with Final, Billy Bond, Janab and Planetaria all winning last time out, Gary.
Yeah, I napped Final when he won here last time out. He goes back up in trip. He's been a bit of a unlucky horse. He's a bit of a cliff horse, or he was for me. He finally managed to get his head in front anyway last time out. Whether he can do the same or not today, I'm not 100% sure. Billy Bond hasn't been seen since winning at Southall back in January. It'd be interesting if ready to go. Janab won last time out at Haydock. He'd gone a long way down in the weights. Condition suited in that, though. There was a bit of cut in the ground. It'd be a bit quicker, I should imagine, on the Westwood tomorrow. Planetari has been in really good form, winning at Hamilton last time out. Got to the front, and he might prove difficult to peg back, but there's a few of them that like the front run here, and I think it might set it up for one. Dutch Artist is their horse in question. Won at Catterick on his debut for the Omari Yard. Got absolutely mullered in an amateur rider race at York after that, and was fourth here last time out over this course and distance. He's got top weight to shoulder, but I think the strong gallop will definitely help this horse. So he will be the pick in the 5.05.
Superb. Thank you, Gary. And one final race to look at comes from Thirsk. And it's the 7.10 at Thirsk. Gary, what are your thoughts on this contest?
Another sort of wide-open staying contest, really. Only seven, unfortunately, which is a bit annoying. We could always do with that extra place for the each-way betting. We all like an each-way bet in those type of races. The kid won on his penultimate outing at Caddo. That was in a cellar and back in handicap company. Proved to be a little bit disappointing last time out. Carthage doesn't win often enough for me. Correggio is another that he won a couple of times last year, but he hasn't been in the best of form this campaign. Tortier won at Musselburgh when Holly Doyle was aboard. Third at Ripon last time out, has to be respected. Comanche Chieftain, for me, is probably better on the all-weather. Kizmu is still a maiden and isn't the most straightforward. So I'll go with Medina Sedina for Tim Easterby and Rachel Richardson. This horse managed to win here over this course and distance right about this time last year, actually. It's been consistent enough so far this campaign, finishing fifth on his two most recent outings at Musselburgh and York. That race at York last time out, probably a bit stronger than this. So, in fact, it was a class four, so this is a slight step down in grade. So, hopefully, he's back at a course that we know that he likes. I'm hoping Medina Sedina can bounce back to winning ways in that 7.10.
Superb. Thank you, Mr. Capewell.
Pleasure, pleasure. Hopefully we get to do this again soon, Dave.
Yeah, sentiments that I echo there, Mr. Capewell. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the podcast. Make sure you're with us for all the racing action on Tuesday. Bath, Beverley, Thirsk, Worcester, and the Irish cards at Dundalk and Killarney on the agenda. And it will be Gordon Brown, Sam Turner, and John Babb live in the studio 10 minutes before the first race on Tuesday. And Sam Turner will be on this podcast for Wednesday's racing action as well. Thank you for listening. Make sure you download it to audioboom.com. Check us out on iTunes as well. And for myself, Dave Kellner, and Gary Capewell, enjoy your betting afternoon here with William Hill ahead of Tuesday's racing action. We'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.